May the Lord help us to commence by singing hymn 255. Happy the men that fear the Lord, they from the paths of sin depart, rejoice and tremble at his word, and hide it deep within their heart. Hymn 255.
Let us read from the sacred pages of God's Word, from the Book of Psalms, Psalm 107, Psalm 107. O give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good, for his mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom he hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands from the east and from the west, from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he delivered them out of their distresses. And he led them forth by the right way, that they might go to a city of habitation. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Such as sit in darkness and in the shadow of death, being bound in affliction and iron, because they rebelled against the words of God and contemned the counsel of the Most High. Therefore he brought down their heart with labour. They fell down, and there was none to help. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. He brought them out of darkness and the shadow of death, and brake their bands in sunder. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. For he hath broken the gates of brass and cut the bars of iron in sunder. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, are afflicted. Their soul abhorreth all manner of meat, and they draw near unto the gates of death. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saveth them out of their distresses. He sent his word and healed them, and delivered them from their destructions. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. And let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare his works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships and do business in great waters, these see the works of the Lord and his wonders in the deep. For he commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifteth up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man. And are at their wit's end. Then They cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. Then are they glad, because they be quiet. So he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Let them exalt him also in the congregation of the people, and praise him in the assembly of the elders. He turneth rivers into a wilderness, and the water springs into dry ground, a fruitful land into barrenness, for the wickedness of them that dwell therein. He turneth the wilderness into a standing water, and dry ground into water springs. And there he maketh the hungry to dwell, that they may prepare a city for habitation. And sow the fields and plant vineyards, which may yield fruits of increase. He blesseth them also, so that they are multiplied greatly, and suffereth not their cattle to decrease. Again, they are minished and brought low through oppression, affliction, and sorrow. He poureth contempt upon princes, and causeth them to wander in the wilderness, where there is no way. Yet setteth he the poor on high from affliction, and maketh him families like a flock. The righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. Whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. Let us pray. Oh, that we may now worship thee in spirit and truth, Almighty Lord God of heaven and earth. Thou seest each of us, so if we have come into thy lower court, that may we reverence thy house. May we come in the way of true humility, confession, and thanksgiving into thy house. May we come with one desire, that we would see Jesus as those Greeks of old, that we might hear the voice of the Son of God, and hearing, we might live. Lord, that will be a life forever. May we truly come, forsaking all below, with that singleness of iron heart, to follow thee, to know thee. Whom to know is life eternal. May we come in the way of vital living faith, with the spirit of prayer and of supplication, to make our requests known, privately, quietly, as we're in thy house. Oh, there might be that gracious spirit within. Oh Lord, reaching forth to where thou art in thy word. We read this morning concerning the woman with the issue of blood. Oh, that we may lay hold, fight that good fight of faith, as Paul wrote to his son in the faith, Timothy. Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold upon eternal life, whereunto thou art also called. May we know that divine calling, that heavenly calling. We might be drawn to the glory of the provision of God in the gospel. Help us to understand, O holy God, that thou hast provided thine only begotten one, and he has been provided to redeem sinners and call sinners unto repentance and to eternal life. O Lord, thou knowest thy people are a poor people, a needy people, a tried people, but we come pleading a fullness of grace. And there is a fullness, and what an expression, what a description, a fullness of salvation, a fullness of love, a fullness of faithfulness, a fullness of virtue, of righteousness, of goodness, a fullness of strength and power in salvation. So we ask for that power upon our lives, that we may be turned from this earth. We may have our faces towards Zion, our heart towards Zion, our faces to the wood, that we may be drawn heavenward to know by the Holy Ghost a sense of thy presence and of thy grace. We are poor and needy, but we can't plead that. We plead the grace that is with thee. Lord, the fullness of grace that is with thee. But may we be confessing our poverty, our unbelief, our forgetfulness and our sins. Lead us to the fountain. We don't just pray it in a general way. Lord, the fountain we need, and we shall need it again and again. Lord, that fountain of life, that fountain of cleansing. Lord, that fountain of blessing. So help us now. Bless this house of prayer. Remember all gathered, the church, the congregation. Remember those that bear office. Bless them in their burdens and responsibilities, and lead them and guide them at all times. Remember all in senior years, towards the end of the journey, do visit them with thy salvation. Remember all in middle life in the heat of the day, draw them from the perishing things of time unto thy footstool, into thy word. They may behold thee. Lord, remember all in affliction and pain and suffering. Pray for one another, many with common ailments. And there are those more serious conditions. Oh, we pray that thy grace may abound toward them in healing mercies according to thy grace. Help us to pray. Thank thee where there have been healing mercies. Remember our young people going forth in life, in business, study. Call them, touch them, draw them. Open thy hand and provide for them in all those things. They do feel to need, Lord. Have compassion individually. Bless the younger friends, the children, the sweet babes. May they be heirs of glory. Bless the Sunday school. Bless the instruction. Help thy servants to speak and those that instruct here. And may thy word follow young people and keep them in thy fear at school, and those under homeschooling, do bless them. Remember those who have departed, Lord. May there be true prodigals to return. Give parents wisdom in nurturing their children in thy fear. Lord, remember each week. Do thank thee for the little life given to the little lads and the mother. Oh, do bless them indeed and as a family. And we will pray for all the families apart, one here and another there. Oh, Lord, thou art good. We would render thanks and pray that the little one born may be one of thine, a soul brought into this world to be redeemed, to discover that redemption in Christ Jesus. Pray for widows, widowers, those who plough lonely furrow, those in distress, those in bereavement, those left behind, every special case thou knowest. Remember Zion, Lord, bless thy servants on the walls of Zion. Thy servant at Horam this evening, think of thy servant laid aside that was due. We pray for him, be with him, heal him, restore him, and others, as we understand laid aside here and there. Thank you where there have been healing mercies, one to our young friend, the pastor at Brighton thus far. We think of the pastor at Earthling Borough. Remember him in loving kindness, in his deep afflictions, in his old age or some more senior years. We pray for him and each. Do return in power and the ministry to us as a group of churches. Oh, may sinners be awakened. Let there be time of awakening. Quicken, Lord, quicken. Quicken, bring to soul concern. Deliver from the dead formality and the routine and the drifting on in religion. Oh, bring to deep soul concern. May there be heart agonies for Jesus to be revealed. Oh, may eternity be real. And may our sins, Lord, be laid at thy feet and confessed. And with living desires forsaken, do remember thy people through this land and the earth. The missionaries where thy name is feared, thy word is read. Many in deprivation. We know them not. Famine, affliction, war, persecution, genocide. O Lord, do bless thy word unto thy poor and needy ones. And send forth thy gospel in power. Have mercy on England at this solemn time. Intervene, we beseech thee, in this election. Lord, undertake. O Lord, all our political parties and establishment are liars, corrupt. We're in a very serious condition. But thou reignest. We know not what to do and what to think. Our eyes are upon thee. Hear the cries of the remnant concerning the abominations and the situation in the land. And deliver us. Lengthen out our Protestant heritage still, civil liberties, religious liberties, identity as a nation, religious institutions and what is left of them. Oh, have mercy on us, Lord.
have mercy on us. Raise up those that go forth out of Zion, the power and authority of the Holy Ghost, as in years past, declare the whole counsel of God under the power of the Spirit, and turn us unto thee as a nation. Bless our Queen, thank thee for stability. Undertake for us on the throne when she's gone. O turn us unto thee, O God, as a nation. And hear the people's cries. And arise for our help. And spare and deliver England. We humbly pray, and turn us unto thee again. Now, Lord, we thank thee for thy mercies, thy goodness, thy kindness, abundance of supply, helps by the way, answers to prayer. Lord, in those many favours we have, O Lord, uncountable mercies, where do we begin? But let us praise thee. Lord, those spiritual mercies, thy word, may it be in power to our hearts. The doors of Zion open, may we have living touches. The throne of grace, as we pour out our heart to thee, may we hear thy voice, may we receive of thee. May we live in these means provided for the house of Israel, for dying mortal man. Oh, we acknowledge all these mercies and the daily routine, the pathway, the provisions, answers to prayer, preservation, countless mercies. Now, Lord, humble us. We wait on thee. Help. Bless thy word. Oh, may thy word have free course and be glorified in our lives. Holy Spirit, be due, bring forth the glory of the Son of God. His everlasting love, the everlasting love of the Father and of the Son, Holy Ghost, seal it on our hearts. Move us, move these hearts of ours. Draw us to thee. Holy Heavenly Father, we plead the name of thine only begotten one, thy provision to poor sinners. And for thy honour and glory, we ask all things in his name and for his sake. Lord Jesus, Son of God, Son of David, we plead thy name before the throne. Come, bless thy word. Come, Lord, come. We fall down. May we fall down and worship with our hearts up to thee. Oh, that we could see no man save Jesus only. We need it. Come, come, Lord Jesus, come. Amen.
Hymn number 482. In heaven my choicest treasure lies, my hopes are placed above the skies. 'Tis Christ, the bright and morning star, draws my affections from afar. Hymn 482.
in a complete dependence upon the Lord for needed help and blessing, I draw your attention to the prophet Nahum, chapter 1 and verse 7. The prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. The prophet Nahum, chapter 1, verse 7. The Lord is good, a stronghold in the day of trouble, and he knoweth them that trust in him. These words sounded in my heart as I came in through the vestry door this evening. I've had to turn away from the meditation that I had. I must obey the voice of the Lord. I venture with this word. I have preached from it, I know, probably 4 or 5 years ago in this place, but I turn to it now. Here, the prophet Nahum, who preached concerning the wickedness of Nineveh, the destruction of Nineveh, and its ruin, in the opening chapter, brings forth the goodness of God to Israel, to his people, bearing in mind the Assyrians were the enemies of God, the enemies of Israel, and Judah and so forth. They were, of course, overthrown by the Babylonians, and so same tale went on with Babylon. All the enemies of God will be destroyed, you know. And he says concerning his being, the Lord is slow to anger and great in power, will not at all acquit the wicked, and so forth. But here in the verse we have this declaration, the Lord is good. Do you know he's good? Have you discovered his goodness? You know, the first thing I bring forth is the goodness of God in providing for a rebellious man. It's a deep mystery. I've been mocked on when I was working in London, talking to someone I used to go up on the train with. She was good company, natural company, intelligent and very knowledgeable. And of course, I wouldn't hide my hope in the Lord and used to speak to her. But, you know, all the mocking of the fall of man, she said it was sexist and so forth, against women, and all the other arguments the world brings forth. But you know, I said today at our friend's home, you know, God said the Trinity, man has become as one of us. Friend, the independence of man, the pride of man. And do we know this? Have we been taught it? And he has every right to cut us off. Do we realize that? But he's provided. Am I among those who've heard his voice, led to his provision, know his call, separated from all the people of the earth? I don't mean separated in religion from other denominations. That, of course, is necessary to a point. We dwell among our own people. But unto the Lord, separated unto God, for his honour and glory, to know his call and to know that hope. What is the first thing I would name in his goodness? His glorious provision in his only begotten Son. And that was promised from the beginning. From Eden, it was promised. From the very garden of sin, it was promised. The seed of the woman would bruise the serpent's head, his dominion meaning. Oh, how good the Lord is. How good the Father is. How good the Son is in that covenant. Friend, the willingness, delight to do thy will, O my God, thy law is within my heart, cries David in the psalm. They're prophesying concerning the Son of God, willing to save, willing to suffer, willing to bleed and shed his blood, willing to bear the reproach and the sin of the church that Christ hates in his divine nature, willing to be crucified and hung to bear the curse, willing to die, delighting to do his Father's will, but loving his people, we read in Hebrews, endured the cross, despising the shame. Why? The hope set before him. What a glory we have here. What was Christ's hope? The church should be with him. His people given unto him by the Father, who he redeemed, should be with him. Father, I will that all they thou hast given me should be with me where I am, that they may behold my glory. Even the glory which I had with thee before the foundation of the world. The Lord is good. Do you know that call? You know, it's ever so solemn. And there's nothing we can do about it. It's by grace the difference is made. We can drift on and on and on and on to the end of the journey, unmoved, knowing all this to be true. Grace will bring us to need him, long for him. Oh, you do need him this night to worship him, to know that call, to know that glorious Son of God, Jesus, Emmanuel, God with us. What a provision. But you know, in that provision, we see a fullness, dear friends, of pure victory, may I use that expression rightly, an overcoming, a conquest. And that conquest is within our lives. Within our lives. We can speak about Jesus' conquest in general terms, church militant and so forth, but in our hearts, overcome all things for us. It's a wonderful word. I was looking at it yesterday. You know, sin shall not have dominion over you. Seems almost impossible at times, doesn't it? But it will not. It shall not have dominion over you. Why? Because you're not under the law. That means unconverted. You're not unconverted. You're not under the law, but under grace. Grace, grace, reigning, visiting our lives and our hearts. How therefore have you heard? What think ye of Christ? Led to him. Sin will not have. Friend, what an agony it brings to the heart. The allurements, the temptations, the pride, the independence, the self-serving, the settling down on our lees, drifting along, enjoying life. Loving this world, knowing we shouldn't. One foot in religion, one foot in the world. And so it goes on. Won't have dominion. Its power's broken. Its power's broken. Christ now reigns in the heart by desire and affection. Are you drawn to him? Sin shall not have dominion. It doesn't mean it won't tease. It won't annoy, it won't bring distress, it will bring sorrow. Look at all the godly in the Bible. Sin brought them sorrow, but no dominion. You're not under the law, but under grace. Oh, the glory of Christ, the conquest within. Friend, his victory. Paul writes to the Corinthians, thanks be unto God. Concerning the resurrection, of course. They're speaking there of the final overcoming, the resurrection of the body. Friend, the entering into glory, the place prepared. Thanks be unto God that giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Through him. Through him. How good the Lord is. Friend, that conquest within. But his is a kingdom. It's not the kingdom of this world. A new kingdom, a heavenly kingdom. A new heart will I give you. Friend, he reigns within in his people. What a mercy to be drawn by his love, by his grace. Well, the Lord is good. One can hardly comprehend the love of the Trinity, although I believe his dear people will have an understanding of some of that fullness in the grace that is given them of the love of God toward them as they abide in union with his Son. That's the secret. Are we in union with Christ? If we're in union with Christ, if you look in John 17, you see the glory begins to shine and to flow of the glory of the Father and the Son. Are we in Christ? What a glory. But you know how the Father sent his Son, knowing the cost, the love of God to sinners, to the ones he chose before they sinned, before they were born, before sin entered the world, chosen a number in his Son. And Christ, in full oneness with his Father, must come, be manifest in flesh. What a step of humility to be manifest in flesh. Yes, a righteous man, sinless flesh, the righteous one, but, friend, a path of suffering, a path of humility. What goodness to take his people's charge and care upon him, which he did. Which he did. Friend, have you been led to see something of the glory here of love? The glory of compassion. God's compassion. Christ's compassion. To bear our iniquities. You know, it's a deep mystery. How can the righteous one be made sin? It's a deep mystery, isn't it? How could he be made sin? But he was made sin. To be punished for our sin. He didn't enter into sin. But he was made sin, was made over to him for punishment. To bear our punishment. You've got so used to hearing these things. Friend, how awful if it doesn't mean anything anymore. But God will make sure it does mean something to you, child of God. You'll know something about your sin and your sorrow. Not other people's, yours, yours. It's not other people's, it's yours. Your pride, your independence. He hides his face. Friend, Christ hides his face. Why? What's he saying to you? Look to me. Where are you? Look what I've borne. Look at my sorrow. See if there be any sorrow like unto my sorrow. Look at your forgetfulness. But I've not forgotten thee. You've forgotten me times without number. Yet will I remember thee. I will never leave thee nor forsake thee. Friend, he'll hide his face to make us long for him. The Lord is good. What has he suffered for us? What has he suffered? Can I put it like this? We might understand a little the hell that I deserve. The hell that we deserve. Has he really?
He has. Oh, for it open up that our eyes may be open to see him and know him. How good the Father was to punish him. What love to the church. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased. Hear ye him. But he sent him to be punished for his people's defilements. The Lord is good. Good. And that power of the resurrection. There's a wonderful following there, isn't there? As Paul writes in Romans, who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather that is risen again. Rather that is risen again. We live by faith upon a risen Lord God Christ. A risen Christ. A risen Christ. We live upon a risen Christ now in heaven who has got the victory. That's where faith lives. Friend, it looks through the atonement, through the dying, to the living. Through Calvary to heaven. The path that. Why must it look there? Because sin is put away, the blood to plead. The token. We don't stay at Calvary. The journey is to heaven. But it's through Calvary. So there is the pleading of his blood as a token of his love. Of his love. Of his mercy. And what a pleading. As divine teaching taught us here. The glory and the grace of that shed blood. A life given as a ransom. His blood given to the church for their life. The life is in the blood. No wonder the apostle speaks of the blood of sprinkling upon the church. The influence of grace upon us through the blood of Christ. The life given as a ransom. Now risen, now exalted. Friend, we worship a risen Lord, an exalted Lord. A Lord that's conquered. The Lord is good. Friend, and he's good too in his sanctuary. I have said here before, and I do at home often say, you know, there are those provisions of the gospel. Oh, may we not be neglecting them. One is the word. If the word lies dormant in your life, friend, you're the loser. You're the loser. You don't know what you're losing. The word lies neglected. It's a provision. Christ, open it, and ask that Jesus might be seen and you might hear his voice in the word. It's a living word. Yes, the gospel's a living word from Genesis to Revelation. The other is the means of grace, to be longing to be the sanctuary. I know in my working days I couldn't get out in the week very often and there were times when I could have done but too weary I refrained, but often I couldn't get there. That was the most part, but the Lord knows. But oh, the desire to be there. The Lord might be there. It's not just going to chapel. It's we would see Jesus. Friend, he is in the sanctuary. One word received, one promise dropped in. His people have known it, you know. Just the text named, not the sermon. You get the sermon, the text named, or the sermon like a river flowing into your heart. The Lord is there. The glory of Zion, you know, it is a glory. You know, our wicked hearts, the old nature, almost despises God's house sometimes. We wouldn't do it deliberately, we say, but we don't like that minister. We don't think much of him. And all the things, those hymns they keep having. Friend, the awfulness of our corruptions. The point is, with all the frailty of humanity and of the Lord's servants and of the church members, they are but poor things. They're sinners like you and I. The Lord is there. That's the point. That's the point. Oh, to be found in the sanctuary with a longing. Friend, the Lord sees it and he will visit. He will bless you. He will bless the house of Israel, the house of Aaron. He will bless them that fear him, says the psalmist. And the other is the throne of grace, this third provision. Jesus is always on the throne. Do remember that. In this gospel time, Christ is on the throne of grace, reigning, drawing, like a king in his glory, to receive and hear the petition and to send forth an answer, or to send his angels as a messenger on a mission for recovery or a deliverance to the church. That's the glory of the throne of grace. He's there reigning. Friend, and it's not just for us to pour out our soul. What a mercy you can pray. What a mercy. What would you do without the throne of grace? I don't know what I would do. But it's not just pouring out our soul, which is a wonderful provision. It's to hear from him. Remember, friend, when you pray, are you looking for some leading? Not just when you're praying, but afterwards. You've laid out your case. Ever remember, there's the cry as you drive down the road, down the motorway, as you sit at your desk at work, the cry is, Lord, help me. He's on the throne of grace. A word drops in. A word in season. Jesus speaks from his throne. Now, he'll vacate that throne at the end of time. He'll go to the judgment seat. It's ever so solemn. Do you live at the throne of grace? If you do, you're drawn there. You surely will get to glory. Well, these provisions, Christ, we would see Jesus. The Lord is good. Now, let's come down a little. Jesus in his humanity, you know, taking our flesh and suffering. We've mentioned this already, but it's the pathway. I will go before thee and make the crooked places straight. Break in pieces the gates of brass, cut in sunder the bars of iron. It's a covenant promise. Friend, and he has gone to prepare a place for us, and he's made the way. But oh, the distress that abounds for the church, the cares, the sorrows. Oh, does Jesus really know? Can he really deliver? Friend, what should we be doing then? It's looking to him, waiting for him, following him. Friend, are you following him? Are you following him? It's a solemn thought if we're not. Are we following him in his word, in the pathway? And I'm not just speaking of an outward public declaration joining the church. That, of course, is important. And I know that it was so more. But in our heart, are we following him? Taking up the cross daily, bearing his reproach, that there will be that crown of righteousness laid up in glory. Are we following him? Well, the Lord is good. He's gone before you, know. He's gone before. He's made the way where there is no way. And we follow him by faith. Faith in his word, in his instruction. Now, another matter I must bring forth. Friend, the Lord can be found and is found in this gospel age. What a mercy. We don't deserve it. I know what some of God's people feel. Will he ever appear? Will he speak to me? Will he hide himself forever? Friend, he is findable and knowable by grace. I have to add, by grace, according to his sovereignty. I must add that because it is true. No man by searching can find out God. Naturally, drawn by grace, drawn by love, drawn by need. To him, to his feet, in prayer, into his word, into the sanctuary to find him. He reveals himself to his people. Do plead it. Friend, the Lord is good. He does discover himself. It may be a long season. What a mercy also in some of his solemn dealings I will hint at before we move on. A mercy to be humbled, you know. The Lord is good to humble us. It doesn't sound very encouraging, does it? But it's true. That we might become, as I said this morning, little children. We might become as little children to enter the kingdom of heaven. We might discover him in all his dealings with us. Is the Lord good to hide his face at times? Well, naturally, I'm going to say no, because I don't feel him to be good when he hides his face. But he is good. He is good. There's a purpose of grace in it all. Well, the Lord is good. You know, providing a righteousness, his own righteousness, to be received by faith, put on by faith. I don't think we realize, you know, the wonders of what this righteousness is to enter heaven. It's Jesus' righteousness. It's not ours. Not having our own righteousness, which is of the law, writes Paul in the Philippians. Friend, our righteousness is according to how we feel and how we think we ought to behave and whether we're behaving like it or not. And when grace discovers we're not behaving as we should, or our righteousness is filthy rags, it's very distressing. But he has provided his righteousness to be received in the heart by the Spirit. It's the Lord's righteousness to receive it and to believe it and to know it. He's wrought the righteousness and it's received. And how is it received? By the gospel, by the living waters of the gospel, the influence of grace. Friend, and there is a putting him on. If the Lord is made precious, you're putting him on. You're following in him. Your heart is burning after him. You're drawing from his grace, his word. You're putting on his righteousness by faith, trusting in him. Trusting in his goodness to you, in his care to you, in his love to you. As putting on his righteousness, having nothing of my own. Nothing at all. Nothing but rags and filthiness. No heaven there. Hiding under the precious blood. As in Egypt. No death. Under the blood of the Paschal Lamb. No death. No destruction. Spared. Brought forth by promise. Eating the Passover. Feeding on Christ. What glorious types we have here. Feeding on Jesus' love and grace. His blood. His broken body as in the Passover. The unleavened bread. And the Paschal Lamb. The Lord is good. You know, to bring us forth under that blood, the righteous one, a life-given protection. The Lord, our righteousness. The Lord is good. You know, oh, to see that God, the Father, in his pure love to his people, has provided everything, including himself, if I may say that rightly, in his Son. In his Son. I and my Father are one. It's a wonderful truth. Read John 17. See the union in the prayer of Christ. You know, one device, I know we get used to these things, but one divine essence, one Godhead, one God. One substance, one love, one grace, one power in the glorious three. The Father, the Son, the Holy Ghost. Friend, being declared from the Word of God in their will to the church. The Father reigning the head, choosing, the Son coming to reign over them, the Holy Ghost dwelling within us, the Holy Spirit. How can the Holy Ghost dwell in your heart when you begin to discover your own sins? How can he? By love, by grace, bringing forth to your soul the glory of Jesus' blood and his dying love. Friend, the determined glory of the Father working in us by the Holy Ghost. The Comforter. Friend, the Comforter. The Paraclete. Well, the Lord is good. Just a few thoughts there. But as we now must begin to move on, friend, his word spoken. Oh, the glory of his gospel. Friend, are you not hoping upon his word? Is there nothing in his word to lay hold on? God forbid. Friend, you're laying hold on Christ. He's the glory of the word. Friend, he is the glory of the word, the Son of God. Remember the word to thy servant upon which thou hast caused me to hope. This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me, made me alive in hope. The glory of the word of the gospel. Why? Because God sent it, and you'll discover his love toward you, working in you, concerning whatever word was given, the promise, whatever it might be, a word of instruction. It's Christ speaking in the word, sent in love. Friend, and when you feel the word to be sweet, oh, think of the grace that sent it, that made it real to your heart. It didn't just happen by chance, did it? It was given with the purpose of grace. But, oh, what an influence. May his word truly be an influence on us. And may we wait upon the word upon which we hope, wait for its performance, wait upon him, humble ourselves, trust him, believe in him. Well, the Lord is good. A stronghold, in the margin is a strength or a strengthening. A stronghold in the day of trouble. We know the days of trouble are many, and they are, you know. In my little way, I've tried to escape a bit of trouble here and there, but you never will. You know, while we're surrounded with so many mercies, and I ought to have mentioned in this, the Lord is good, the providential mercies we are surrounded with, oh, for a little bit of thankful heart, you know. That's what we need, most of us. A real thankfulness unto the Lord for the mercies. Friend, you have your needs, and they're real, they're genuine, the Lord knows them, but oh, to be thankful, and thankful for his promise. He'll perform it if it's been made known to your soul. But oh, to wait on him. But here we have a description, a stronghold. And the margin is wonderful, a strength in the day of trouble. Whether we view it as a stronghold, a hiding place, but his word is a strength, a strength. Who needs strength tonight? Why do you need strength? Because you feel weak in certain things. The world would laugh at this. We're weak in faith. We're weak in understanding sometimes. Friend, we're poor in spirit. But that strength is needed. Christ is that strength. What a wonderful thing. Received by faith. We dwell on our weakness. We see our faithlessness. We see our helplessness. I hope we don't stand in confidence, our own confidence. Yes, it's a wonderful thing to receive faith. But God does not view us. He does not tell us to be strong in ourselves, but in the Lord. In the Lord, by faith. The strength is in Christ, not our own opinion, not our righteousness, not our goodness, but in Him, in Christ. A stronghold in a time of trouble, a storm. I mentioned at the Sunday school about the house built upon the rock. I mentioned it in passing towards the end. You know, and the dear young ones, they seem to all put their hand up, and most of them, I think, seem to realise that Jesus was that rock. And what a wonderful truth. They stood the storm. They're in the stronghold. And a strength, meaning, of course, a strength of faith in the heart. He will not let thee go. He cannot let the church go. Friend, faith views, begins to view. Friend, the fullness of Christ here. The faithfulness of Christ. Friend, when the Lord visits the soul and blesses you, there's a reality. There's a living reality of God's love towards you and His mercy towards you. It may be a small measure, but oh, friend, it hasn't got to be large measures. A little drop of heaven in the soul. There's life in it. There's life in it. A stronghold, a strength given, upholding grace in the day of trouble. Well, the days of trouble are many, aren't they? And they're the trials of faith. You know, we don't like talking about trouble. I know some people make a religion of trouble, but I don't like that. But let's speak about this. Our wicked hearts bring us trouble. I've said many times, all the troubles I have, I've brought on my own head, you know. And it needs grace sometimes to see it. We don't always see it. It needs much grace to see it. We bring our own. God is not the author of trouble or confusion, but He allows it to teach us His salvation and what He's saving us from. Have we any idea what we're being saved from? In the trials that we're down below, plus the endless ruin to come. The two things, now and in eternity, to be delivered, what we're being saved from. But unto glory, what we're being saved unto. And there is the blessing of the strength of Christ, His arm of righteousness upholding in the time of trouble. And maybe in God's blessing and time, it is a preparation for the deep waters of death to come to lay hold of the stronghold set before us. Even the anchor within the veil, Jesus, the forerunner, has entered. Our captain has entered through death into glory. A stronghold, a strength in the day of trouble. Oh, the Lord is good, a stronghold. His promise, we could think of a number. Look at Esther. Her case was helpless. Going to be destroyed. Mordecai, her uncle, said, look, you're not going to escape. You might be the queen, you might be the favourite, but you're not going to escape. She made a petition, you know, and asked for her life and the life of her people. Faith. She found grace in God's sight. You know, the covenant promise through Abraham to the whole nation of the Jews stood firm. Friend, what of the covenant of promise in the kingdom of grace, of Christ? It stands firm. Does it stand firm for you tonight? Have you proved it? Thus far, my God has led me on and made His grace and mercy known. Has He? I know there's many trials. The faithfulness of God, a stronghold in the day of trouble. We read Psalm 107 with a purpose. I know I've read it here before. Really, it's a well-known psalm, a good psalm, but look at the various descriptions. Fools because of their transgression. They're appointed unto death, they're laid low. They fell down and there was none to help. And so forth and so forth. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and he saved them out of their distresses. And here we have different, these provisions, God's words, a stronghold in the day of trouble. The sanctuary of Zion, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And the throne of grace, a stronghold in the day of trouble. Have you not proved it? This is the stronghold. This is God's provision. And Christ is the stronghold, as known and received by faith in all your need. Look at Jesus' humility. Oh, that we might know a little bit about it, a little more of it. What he suffered, how low he came. Friend, he doesn't despise you in your low estate. Who remembered us in our low estate? For his mercy endureth forever. He doesn't despise you in your low estate. He despises your pride. He despises your pride and won't have it. But he won't despise you in all your humility and humble confessions and tenderness. He'll have you deal with your fellow brethren and church members and so forth and God's people as you wish them to deal with you, in kindness and in love. As you wish God to deal with you in tender mercies, so you will have to deal with God's people in tender mercies. A stronghold. His word of promise. If only we could enter more into the faithfulness of God. As I am here, the word in Hosea seems to come before me. And I will betroth thee, is a wonderful word, you know. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. This is to backsliding Israel, you know. This is the gospel to backsliders. And I will betroth thee unto me forever. Yea, I will betroth thee unto me in righteousness and in judgment and in loving kindness and in mercies. I will even betroth thee unto me in faithfulness. And thou shalt know the Lord. Friend, that's God speaking. That's God speaking. To sinners, to his people. What mercy. When you think of what you deserve. Have you been taught that? We all know we're all denominational sinners. Every one of us is a denominational sinner. But have we been brought to feel ashamed of ourselves? And don't know where to put our face sometimes. Oh, the foolishness, the folly, and the Lord's judgments. They're awful to bear. Yet look at this gospel. Oh, this stronghold of Christ. You know, these Old Testament promises and truths were sealed to the church by his blood, by his dying, given to them. Free grace, friends. When the word drops in, it drops in freeness to the soul. No conditions. The gospel doesn't come with condition. Remember that. Unconditional grace, mercy, love, peace, joy in Christ as made known by the Spirit. No conditions he lies down. Look unto me and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth. Have you been there? You're looking unto him and your soul feels drawn, a safety, a refuge, a strength, a stronghold in the day of trouble. And here we have this wonderful description. And he knoweth them that trust in him. That's a wonderful thing, you know. It shows it's his work. His work. That word trust speaks of faith, and it perhaps speaks of the higher blessing of faith, the higher comfort that faith brings, to feel a trust in him. Faith is often tried. Faith is often small. It's pressed hard by sorrow and cares of your
pushing through the crowd like the woman with the issue of blood. He pushed through the crowd. She had to. Faith is so tried, it's pressed hard. But here, this word trust speaks of a measure of resting, holding fast, standing firm, holding to the promise, the word of grace. Through Jesus, you know. It's only through Jesus when he's made precious. Oh, their faith does lay hold. There is that trust. What a mercy to know him. Friend, what a mercy to know him. He knoweth them that trust in him. There's a good word in Psalm 62. It's been a good word to me. Trust in him at all times. I know it's easy to say these things, and I wish I could. But the truth stands, you know. It's God's word, as it's made life and power to our soul. All times, down times, bare times, sad times, trying times, times of judgment. David had to, Solomon had to, Hezekiah had to. I was looking at the word of God at tea time, or just after tea, concerning Hezekiah and entertaining the ambassadors of Babylon, showing them all the... And the word says, for his pride, God had to humble him from his pride. What? After his life was spared, in that 15 years added, he plays the fool and gets lifted up. As God spared him. Poor Hezekiah. He was a godly man, a godly king. But he was like you and I. He was a poor sinner. Left to himself, get lifted up in pride. And that was, he was living upon 15 extra years of grace given to him. Humbled him. You know, he knoweth them that trust in him. Poor Hezekiah, the sentence of death. I've heard thy prayers, says God. Someone tonight. I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Oh, that it might speak to someone. I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. And there he added those 15 years to him. You know, he knoweth them. But you know, I was coming to this. Oh, Hezekiah to turn his face to the wall. And if you read Isaiah 38, friend, the description of the anguish of his heart is brought low, and the Lord heard him. O Lord, I am oppressed. Has someone come to chapel tonight? Forgive me for wandering off. Has someone come? O Lord, I am oppressed. Undertake for me. Undertake for me. Mine eyes fail with looking upward. O Lord, I'm oppressed. Undertake for me. I've heard thy prayer. I've seen thy tears. Well, he knoweth them that trust in him. Trust in him at all times. Ye people, pour out your heart before him. God is a refuge for us. And what a refuge. He knoweth them that trust in him. And we think of Abraham. Oh, the trials of faith he went through. Look at Jacob. Look at Joseph. Unbearable. Those years in the jail. And then to extra added, forgotten. When would the Lord appear? He knoweth them that trust in him. And he does. And he knows you. And you trust in him. Think of David. A step between me and death. I wonder, this is the one anointed as king. Was that anointing real, David? Was it of the Lord, David? I one day die by the hand of Saul. Yeah, but you're replacing Saul, David. How are you going to die by his hand then? He knoweth them that trust in him. Abraham staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, was strong in faith, giving glory to God, being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Oh, for that trust. Lord, increase my faith. Is that your cry? What did the disciples say? Increase our faith. Friend, and that's increasing in love. Faith and love go together, you know. Don't split them. Don't divide them. You're a fool. You don't understand if you do. Faith is in love that worketh by love. Friend, that good hope through grace now abideth these three, faith, hope, charity, or love. The greatest of these is charity, love. Think of God's charity to us. Think of his love to us. It's all free, you know. You may wonder why does our translation speak of charity and not love? Is meaning love? Well, because charity is freely given, you see. It brings forth a wonderful description of love. You freely give to a charity, don't you? For the blind or for the disabled or for the veterans or so forth. It's freely given out of your pocket. And God's love is freely given out of his fullness to his people. Friend, and that's just not a few pennies. Or it's mercy to have God's pennies. But what I mean is, friend, forever. Love forever. Well, I'll leave the word. The time has run. The Lord only knows why, as I came through that outer door in up those steps, why this Lord, this O, dropped into my heart. I had to abandon everything and venture upon what God has given. I hope it's for a purpose. The Lord is good. The Lord is good. A stronghold, a strength in the day of trouble. And he knoweth them. And he knows you that trust in him. He knows your exercise. He knows your burden. He knows your longings. He knoweth them that trust in him, his righteousness, his name, his grace, his word, his promise. Amen.
The collections last Lord's Day were £685, for which we are very thankful. God willing, Mr. Hadley will preach on Tuesday evening, and a collection will be taken for the Trinitarian Bible Society. And Mr. Timothy Rosier will, God willing, preach next Lord's Day and address the Sunday School in the afternoon. And there will be a meeting for Bethesda on Saturday afternoon at 2 o'clock at the primary school. Let us close with hymn 257. Ye humble souls, complain no more. Let faith survey your future store. How happy, how divinely blessed, the sacred words of truth attest. Hymn 257.
And now may the grace of the Lord and Saviour Jesus Christ, the love of God the Father, the sweet communion, unction, comfort of the Holy Ghost, rest and abide upon us each, now, forever. Amen.